Joining me live over the phone this morning is Game and Fish Director Angie Bruce here on the Weekday Wake Up. Director Bruce, good morning. How are you today?
I am doing really well, especially because the storm didn't hit us as it was expected. So a pretty good spring weather this morning.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. On the western side, we are shoveling this morning. So, you know, it's how it goes. It's how it goes. Appreciate your time as always, Director. Of course, the final few days of the state legislative session, I know that's busy for you and your office as you're kind of tracking bills and some things happening. You know, one of the bills that was signed by the governor was actually sponsored by one of our local legislators, Andrew Byron, over on this side of the state regarding river otters and House Bill 0045. Talk to us about this bill and what it does for the game and fish and those that are trying to do some things with their agricultural land.
Exactly. So, yes, quite an interesting bill. It actually became sort of, a highlight of the session when people talked about it. There were lots of stuffed and little plastic otters floating around both chambers because of it, which is kind of fun, right? Those are the things we don't always see, that sort of humor side. But really, on a serious note, what this does is that we had some very old statute in the books that talked about a few species of wildlife were under protection. This statute was created back in 1956, pre-Endangered Species Act. And really, the statute is old, arcaded, and probably not even needed anymore. But it was taking one of those species, otters, off of that statute, which would then convert it into a non-game status for us. So what does non-game status mean? We have lots of animals in non-game. You can think of the flying squirrel, swift fox, others. It really puts them into a category that helps us manage them better. It does not allow for a hunting or trapping season. We're not there yet with the population. Even though almost extirpated from the state in the 50s, they are coming back. You mostly find them on the western part of the state. But as they start to inhabit the state and more waters, we need the ability to be able to work with landowners and move otters around. And so when there's some nuisance otters, we can come in, we can work with the landowners, we can trap them, and we can relocate them now. Under their protected status, before what they were listed on, we were not able to do that. So I believe this will help us not only work with landowners and build acceptance for their repopulation in the state, but also allow us to be able to repopulate them quickly, more quickly, by translocating them across the state. So definitely glad to see this as another tool that we have in the toolbox to allow us to manage otters.
Director, any other pieces of legislation that you're still currently watching, whether they are still in session or maybe waiting a governor decision?
Not so much. Everything, the eight bills that have impact to the department are through the system and are signed or close to signed. One, though, I do want to highlight would be House Bill 5. Fishing Outfitters and Guides. It was signed. It's number 31. This one will probably be the biggest lift for the department in the coming months in acting, helping to put it in place. And really what it does is this deals with what folks have been seeing, what we've been hearing about the quality of experience out on the water and how many boats are out there. We now will go through a process to register all outfitters and guides, both resident ones and non-residents. The idea behind that registration will really be to get the numbers. How many people are outfitting? Where are they going? Is it a problem? Do they need regulated? And then make that next step in determining if regulating of those is needed. How we'll do that is the statute identifies that we will put in place an advisory committee, a seven-person group that will advise our commission and what to do going forward. Really, they'll focus on who should be regulated and how it should be regulated, and if there's parts of the state that there is need of regulation at all. So we will be putting out a press release probably yet this week and asking for participants in that advisory committee. We need outfitters and guides. We need anglers. We need all people to step up and help us enact this legislation and I guess get it right.
So I'm a Game and Fish Director Angie Bruce this morning on the Weekday Wake Up. Director, let's talk chronic wasting disease. Over the past couple of months on the western side of the state, a couple of elk on the, I believe at the Scab Creek feed ground, or near that area anyway, have been testing positive for CWD. Give us the latest update on what's happening here.
Yeah, that is right. We had our first positive of elk at the Scrap Creek feed ground, and that's in the Upper Green River elk herd. So yes, definitely the first one there. And then we had two other cases over in the Del Creek feed ground near Pinedale. Not surprised. You know, CWD has been on the landscape since the 80s. However, still disturbing, right? We like to think that it's moving slower than maybe it is. And so, you know, this is more information for us. We can continue to sample, collar animals, sample them, figure out what is going on. Definitely have these reports coming in that will provide us with more information going forward.
I guess how big of a concern is it with these new tests and with CWD and these elk over on this side of the state? And I mean, how big of a red flag is it that these elk have tested positive?
My flag is not too big, basically because we expected this to happen. We know how CWD is transmitted for the most part between prions, between animals. And the fact that, in fact, I'm quite the opposite. I'm surprised we haven't seen it yet. We've seen it more quickly move across the state in deer. Elk, it seems to transmit slower. Understanding that difference and those nuances is hugely valuable for us to contain it and slow it down. So this is another piece of information to add to that, but not necessarily a big red flag. It's just continuously, you know, part of our CW management to understand and collect the data of where it is moving and how fast.
Well, Director, I know the Game and Fish is going to be out and about in communities all over the state through the month of March, doing some public meetings regarding regulations and the upcoming hunting season. Going to be in Thane in the Star Valley area on the 19th and then in Cokeville on the 25th. Tell us about these public meetings and what you're hoping to accomplish.
Yeah, thank you for that plug. Yeah, this is the time of year where our folks are putting those finishing touches on what we're proposing for changes in your hunting season. And so these meetings are really for us to visit with sportspersons and say, this is what we're proposing. Tell us what you think. What do you know? What are you seeing on the landscape? And really have a conversation about what the next hunting season looks like. So, yeah, it's that time of year when we really want folks to come out and talk to us. And so encourage people to show up at the meeting. If you cannot show up at the meeting, you can make a comment online, or you can just reach out to one of our game wardens or biologists and have a personal one-on-one conversation with them as well.
Director Angie Bruce, Wyoming Game and Fish Department, with her monthly report on the Weekday Wake Up. Director, anything else we missed that you'd like to mention today?
Nope, I just like to say, you know, we have a lot of things going on. We have a commission meeting in March, and that's going to be up in Cody, and where we do our Outdoor Hall of Fame, which is a great event. If there's still some seats left, if folks would like to join us. But as we move into spring, I'm excited to get outdoors more myself and encourage others to do so.
Excellent. Director Angie Bruce with the Wyoming Game and Fish. Director, as always, appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's the Weekday Wake Up on SVI Radio.